Jesus said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now it's the last part of that verse that struck me this week. No man, neither knoweth any man the Father. Nobody can know God except the Son who comes from his bosom and anyone to whom the Son reveals the Father. Now, that says to me that there is only one way to truly know God, and that is through Jesus. There are not many ways, regardless of how many people tell us today that there are lots of ways to know God. There are lots of paths to God. That seems to be the latest mantra of the New Age crowd. There are many paths to God. Well, you can take your Christian path if you want to take it through Jesus, but I've got this path over here that I'm taking through nature. I'm taking my path through the trees. I'm taking my path through the creatures. I'm taking my path through Hare Krishna. I wish somebody would sing the song today, O Buddha. Today is a great day for O Buddha. How many of you know that song? O Buddha was a man. You remember that? Remember that song? And I'm sure that he meant well. But I know that his disciple, they will wind up in hell. Something like that. And it goes on. It's a wonderful song. We had a group about ready to sing it, didn't we, Mark? And then something developed there and we weren't able to get it. There are not many paths to God. There's one. And that path is through his Son, the Lord Jesus. We hear a great deal today about tolerance. And I want to tell you today unequivocally that tolerance is not a synonym for love. Tolerance is not another word for love. To tolerate somebody's error is not a substitute for love. If you tolerate somebody doing something that you know is self-destructive, how can you say you are walking in love toward that person? If I am about...
There are two things you can do. You can say, I really love Pastor Vic and I really care about him and I'm going to warn him because he's going to his death. And I'm going to say, Pastor Vic, stop!
On the other hand, I could say, I really love Pastor Vic and I don't want to offend him. And I don't want to do anything that would intimidate him in any way or make him hesitant in any way or infringe upon his liberty to do anything that he wanted to do. And in the interest of compassion and tolerance, I'm not going to say anything. I mean, it's his life. My goodness, let him live it. Well, he won't live it very long, will he? Because he's going to his death off the end of this precipice. You don't tell me children don't understand the gospel. Don't tell me children don't understand the preached word. Don't tell me that little ones do not comprehend the truth of the word of God. And so many in our society today they're all hung up on tolerance and compassion and not interfering in anybody else's life. We have Christians who don't want to tell anybody else about Jesus because we don't want to intimidate them. We want to let them find their own way. Oh, God be praised and forgive us, Lord, for Christian parents, so-called, who would say, I don't want to influence my children. I want to let them make up their own minds and make their own decisions. Well, you're in danger of consigning your child to hell if you know the truth and won't tell him. If you know the truth and won't lay it on the line. If you know the truth and will not declare it, no matter what happens and no matter who may come against you. Jesus said, nobody knows God except me. Listen to this boldness. No wonder they killed him. Nobody knows the Father God except me and anyone that I will introduce to him. It is not compassionate to agree with someone. When you're sharing with someone, you have a business acquaintance or a friend or a neighbor or a family member, and they begin to share along these lines. You know, there are lots of different ways. I found this new thing. I'm going to this home, and we're doing this deal. You know, we get around a table, and we this and that and the other, and you're sitting there, and you don't want to disturb the family. And so we don't say anything. Well, I don't want to upset my mother-in-law. I don't want to bother anybody. We're just here for a visit. We're here for a couple of days. We don't want to stir everything up and then leave, and then the whole family's in a turmoil, and all of a sudden I'm the black sheep. That's not compassion. That's not tolerance. That's not love. The love of God, Paul says, constrains me to tell everybody the truth wherever I go. Now, they think I'm a madman. They tell me that I'm beside myself. But the love of Christ constrains me. The love of Christ motivates me. The love of Christ controls me. That if ever I hear somebody say something like that, I found a new way to God. I found a new this. I found a new that. The love of Christ constrains me to say to them, oh, no, that is not right. You will never know God that way. You will never meet. You may meet a God, but you will never meet the Father God. You may meet the God of this world. You may meet the God of your own heart. You may meet the God of worship of somebody else, but you will never meet the Father God unless you come to him through Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord. We need to be unequivocal about that and bold. Now, it will be received in some cases as meddling, as Butinsky, and you may even be told to mind your own business, leave me alone, I'll do my own thing. That's fine. But once you have made the announcement, the blood is on their hands. Head, not yours. God said to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, I've set you as a watchman on the wall. He said, when the watchman is on the wall, if he sees the enemy coming and he blows the trumpet, the one who hears and flees or protects himself will be saved, and that's good. But he who hears and just says, I don't care, I don't believe it, it doesn't matter to me, if he's destroyed, the blood is on his own head. However, if you're on the wall and you see the enemy coming and you will not blow the trumpet because you don't want to wake them up, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. You don't want to bother them because you're not a very good trumpet player. Somebody says, I don't know how to witness, and so I don't. I don't want to bother anybody. I don't want to upset anybody. I don't want to wake the children. I don't want anybody crying. I don't want anybody getting after me. If you won't do that, and the enemy comes and takes the city, and they die, he says, I'll hold you accountable. Their blood on your head. We don't have anything to apologize for. Do you understand? We know how to get to God. If you're a Christian and you've been born again, you know how to get to God. Do you realize how few people know how to get to God? Do you realize how small the number is? Now, it's a great number when you think of all of the ages of time, but when you look at your own community, when you look at your own nation, when you look at your own world, I was reading in one of the magazines just this week This I found incredible. I forget the picture, the number in the United States. It was much higher than this, but in Sweden, 4% go to church. Japan, 2%. 2 out of 100. In England, it's like 6 or 7 out of 100 involved in a Christian church. And you and I both know, don't we, that many who are in the Christian church ain't Christian. They're religious, but haven't been born again. It is not compassionate to allow people to continue to believe a lie if you know the truth. And the truth is, Jesus is the only way. The New Testament disciples understood that. In fact, when they were arrested and commanded not to speak anymore in his name, leave this alone, Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This is the New Testament disciple declaring that Jesus is the only way. Now, there are many verses in the Scripture that declare that Jesus is a way. Most of these we know. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should have eternal, should not perish, but have eternal life. And we know that that means that believing on Jesus gives you eternal life, but that verse is not exclusive. If you were a Buddhist, you could say, or if you were a Muslim, you could say, do you have any idea how rapidly Islam is growing in our country? Particularly among the black population. It's a very real thing, for example, in the prisons. Very rapidly growing. If you were a Muslim, you might say, well, that might be all right, but it doesn't say there that Jesus is the only way. It just says he's a way. Now, this is a very convenient lie. You can have your Jesus, but I'll have my Muhammad, or I'll have my Buddha, or I'll have my whatever. I want us to concentrate today on the exclusivity of the Christian faith. Now, when you begin to talk to somebody else who's non-Christian, when you begin to talk to a religious person about this factor, you will be accused of being an elitist. You'll be accused of being an exclusionist, and you will be accused somewhat like this. You talk about a God of love, but you say that he rejects anybody that doesn't come through Jesus. And some Christians aren't quite able to take that, the rejection. The Christian faith, listen to me now, don't miss this. The Christian faith is an exclusionary faith. It excludes everyone who doesn't come through Christ. He's the only way. I don't think we need to apologize for that. Turn with me to John's Gospel, please. I'm going to share several scriptures with you. Several scripture references. If you have a piece of notepaper, maybe in the bulletin today, you might want to jot some of these down. These are a couple of references from the lips of Jesus. The first one was Matthew 11:27. No one knows the Father but me, and to him whom I reveal him. I can get you introduced to God. Nobody else can. John's Gospel, the 6th chapter and the 53rd verse. Jesus is testifying here about the flesh and the blood. Eat the flesh of eat my flesh, drink my blood, so on and so forth. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. In other words, you will not get eternal life unless you take me inside you. Probably the most dramatic and the most definite verse comes from the 14th chapter of John, again from the lips of Jesus, as he's talking to his disciples on the night he was betrayed. And in John 14:6, John records the events of that evening this way. Jesus saith unto him, that is Thomas, I am the way. Everybody say, the way. Not a way, not one way, but the way. The article is definite here. I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. And then he boldly declares, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you have any idea of the treasure that is within you? Paul says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, meaning we're just clay pots, but there's something really valuable inside us, something really precious. What we know and what we are and what we have experienced and what we know to be true, no man comes to the Father God but by me. You can either come by Jesus or you can't come. It's that clear. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 is the verse I referenced earlier, which is the expression of the disciples when they were interrogated after the healing of the lame man. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, what does that say about Buddha? Can you get saved through the name of Buddha? Can you get saved through the name of Confucius? Can you get saved through the name of Jamal Anderson? Can you get saved through the name of Tommy Glavine or whatever his name is? Glavin. Can you get saved through the name of Bill Clinton? Can you get saved through the name of Confucius? How about Muhammad? How about Shirley MacLaine? There isn't any salvation in anyone other than, say his name, Jesus. He's the only one. Well, how about, could I get saved through the name of Kenneth Hagin? Or Jimmy Swaggart? Or Pat Robertson? Or Amy Semple McPherson? Or the Apostle Paul? Whoa! Could I get saved through Paul the Apostle? No. Now, he might lead me to Jesus, but it's only through Jesus that I can meet God. I can never know God otherwise. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, a couple of verses from the pen of the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 3 and 11. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There isn't any other foundation. There's only one. And whatever else a person built his spiritual life upon is sinking sand. Whatever else a man built his eternal life upon is sinking sand. If you build it upon your pastor, if you build it upon your baptism, if you build it upon your church, if you build it upon the holiness of your sainted grandmother, your house will go down. You will live forever, but you will not have eternal life. Do you understand? No foundation can be laid than that which is Jesus Christ. He is the only foundation that is sure. Now, as we're sharing here today, some words of hymns come out, come forth, don't they? Sure, Jesus, Jesus, he's our sure foundation. Don't these songs come back to you as we share these scriptures? They just go run through my mind just like this. Now, I turn to 1 Timothy, again from the Apostle Paul, 1 Timothy and chapter 2. Here's the problem that a sinner has. We've got a dirty, rotten scoundrel, and then we've got a holy, pure God. And how do we bring them together? We need somebody to mediate this problem, don't we? Between a holy God and a dirty sinner. The Bible says there is one mediator. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. In other words, there's one person who can mediate the problem. There's one person that can bring the two parties together and make them one. And that one mediator is who? It is Christ Jesus, our Lord. There aren't more than one. Now, I want you to remember these scriptures. I'm giving you the scripture references, returning to them and reading them, because I want you to know these scriptures. You realize that when the Spirit of God brings us a message like this, if you're walking in the Spirit, you can anticipate needing this information. You can anticipate having an opportunity sometime soon to share this information with somebody. And we ought to have these references here. We have written down somewhere. We ought to have at least one that we could speak out of our spirit to somebody who might have this problem. Now also, the Apostle John had a real clear understanding of this. And if you'll turn with me to 1 John, I'm going to give you two references here. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11, and 12, this is so very clear, so very definite, so very specific. And then we'll sum it up. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Any person who has Jesus in his heart has the gift of everlasting life. Any person who is trusting in someone other than Jesus and has not received him as personal Lord and Savior does not have life, regardless of what he thinks, regardless of how he feels, and regardless of how many books he has read that confirm that he's okay. I can take you out today and find you without any difficulty a dozen people who tell you that our president is a good man. You could go today and find any number of people that tell you that Charles Manson was just a poor, misguided fool, poor, misguided innocent. You cannot take your testimony from men. We must take our testimony from the Word of God. What just drives me crazy is how many people today have views that depart from this very simple truth. I know you're sitting here today and saying, well, I know this. I mean, you know, this is a central facet of the Christian faith, and it is. Listen, there are people in Christian churches today sitting in pews that do not know what we're talking about today, do not understand this clear central tenet. People dabbling in spiritism and spiritualism and New Age and come to church on Sunday. I've met them in the ministry. One after another after another. You don't have to talk to them very long. You find out they're not part of the family. They're not related. He that does not have the Son of God does not have life. 2 John, verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. If we do not abide in the doctrine of Christ, that is who he is, then we have not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now, let me take you back. You hold your finger there in 1 John, because we're coming back there to another verse, a couple of verses. But let me take you back to Matthew again. Now, let's pull this together. Let us not be surprised. Let us not be embarrassed, and let us not be hesitant to hold this truth and to declare it when the opportunity presents itself. And remember what Jesus said, Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, straight meaning, straight not meaning the opposite of crooked, straight meaning like a straight jacket, in other words, tight. That's what this straight means. A-I-T rather than A-I-G-H-T. In geography, you have the straits where a body of water comes down to a tight place, and you have to be very careful going through, S-T-R-A-I-T. So Jesus is saying here that straight is the gate, that is, the entranceway and the opening, and narrow is the way or the path that leads to life, and few there be that find it. It ought not to surprise us that to know God is there's only a narrow avenue, that there's only one way, that there's only one entrance. Jesus said, I'm the door. You can only come in through me. That should not stop us. For me, what it does is there are some that say, well, God's not really fair. He's not really very nice to make such a narrow way. My reaction is, if he hadn't been for his mercy, there'd be no way. There'd be no way in. You couldn't get in no matter how you practice. Buddha still could get you in. Hare Krishna still could get you in. Your favorite television preacher still couldn't get you in. The pastor of your church still couldn't get you in if there's no Jesus. But he did make a way, but he made it narrow enough that only those who would believe and only those who were faithful would find it. Straight, tight, and narrow. Don't ever apologize for the narrowness of the Christian faith. Don't ever apologize for the exclusivity of there only being one way. Don't ever be embarrassed about that. Jesus went on to teach in the 15th verse, he said, beware of false prophets. There are others who will say, well, there are lots of other ways. Hey, I've heard of so many ways. Oh, my mother, she was such a wonderful person. She was so good with children. She was, you know, you're talking about where mom probably is now that she's died, now that she's passed on. Oh, such a good woman. She just, she loved the animals. She was so tender. She just wouldn't hurt a fly. That wouldn't get you in. That won't do it. I mean, it's a nice way to be, and it's good not to kill cats and pull wings off bugs and things like that. I mean, that's compassionate, merciful, and so on. But you can be the best in that area and respect the creation of God and still miss heaven by a narrow way and a straight gate. Now, let's go back to 1 John. I really love this passage in 1 John 5, and it's a there are a number of verses here, but I want to read it because it is so powerful. Beginning to read in the 6th verse. This is he, talking about Jesus, the Son of God, out of verse 5. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is even greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. In other words, who his Son is, that this man Jesus, who is Mary's son and brother and sister, brother to the siblings and so on, that he's more than just a man, he is the Son of God. Now watch verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. In other words, you know himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Now anybody who does not believe, this is a powerful verse in Scripture, and I tell you, if you share this with someone, you want to do it with tact.
But you also want to do it boldly. If someone says to you, you know, I don't really believe that Jesus is God in the flesh. I do not believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. I do not believe that Jesus is what you Christians believe, or what so many Christians believe he is. I don't believe that. You take that person to this word and let him look in the mirror of the word of God. For God himself said, if you don't believe what God said about his son, you're calling me a liar. No. If we believe not the record that God gave about his son Jesus, we are calling him a liar. It seems to me that he takes a dim view of liars. Now Romans, this will be our last reference, Romans chapter 3. I'm beginning to read at verse 3.